All right. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. We appreciate you being here. And I was just thinking yesterday that this year is a good time to bring forth God's Word. God's Word is a great Word. It's one that you can depend on. It's one that you should be reading and studying. And if you're not, then you should be. I'm not going to say that you're not doing what you want, you ought to if you're not reading it, but I think you are not doing what you ought to if you're not studying God's Word. I know I come short of it, and I think that everybody comes short of God's Word. Now, I want to read this morning the book of Jonah, the first chapter, if you have your Bible. And if you have your Bible, it's on page 716, if your Bible's like my Bible. But if I hope it is in one aspect. And that is that it's the King James Version. I saw a program this morning. I started looking at it, and I turned it. I think I did anyway. I've been busy this morning trying to get everything going. But I looked at it, and it had a scripture there, but it had ESV right behind it. I didn't know what ESV was. Does anybody know what to tell me? ESV. There's so many versions right there and there. It just ain't no telling what it is. But anyway, hope you got King James, and it's on page 716, if you have one like mine. Now I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read just a few verses, and then I'm going to go through there, and I'm going to be using the first chapter more than any other. In fact, I will be using some other verses of Scripture in the Bible, but I want us to look at God's Word this morning and see what it has to say. Now, there's every one of us have a different aspect or look on life, no doubt. We're not made the same. Each one of us are different. We have different ideas. We have different thoughts. And, of course, we can have different thoughts all we want to. We can read ever what we want to, but I want to tell you today that God's Word, I tell you again, is a great Word. It's a great Word, and I'm going to be using the Word this morning, okay? You got your Bible open to that? It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, do lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Some shipmasters came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise. Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, let everyone to this fellow come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Here's the cause of the evil right here. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am in Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then say they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was temperous. Of course, let's go ahead and read the whole chapter. There's not that many verses in it. He said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not a hold upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her rage. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Of course, as you go on through this the book of Jonah, you'll find that there's different phases of his life here, as he prayed in the belly of the whale, and then he went to preach to Nineveh, and so forth and so on. Now, we know that as we look at this, that every one of us, in some way or another, is probably just like Jonah, or has been at some time in our life. And you'll know why when I get through. But one of the most criticized books in all the Bible is the book of Jonah. Did you realize that? You see, some make a joke out of a man being swallowed by a great fish and living 3 days and three nights in his belly. Some say that it was a whale. Some say it was a great fish. I say it was a great fish because I just read that it was a great fish, and that's God's word. Amen? And no matter what you might think, but a whale is a big fish. So you can see the one problem be right. But anyway, I'd rather say fish. I don't have no problems about the doubts about any miracle in the Bible, because the Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Not a thing. You see, that's in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, if you want to prove me out on that. But since God created the worlds, there's no problem for him to produce a fish that would swallow a man alive and sustain the man for 3 days and three nights. It's not a problem for him at all, because with God, all things are possible. There are many great things in the book of Jonah. Great is used actually 8 times in the book, and it speaks of a great city here. Chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2, and chapter 3, verse 3. And I'm going to mention these, but I'm not going to take time to give you the chapter at the end. You can go home if you want to, and if you have it still on your mind, you can go ahead and look and see that we're great there, because God is great, and that's all that counts. It speaks of a great city, a great wind, a great tempest, a great fish, and a great kindness. And there are a lot of great things to be found in God's word. There's a lot of great things to be found in the book of Jonah. I don't know how many of you have ever really studied the book of Jonah. But I feel like it's one of the greatest ones in the Bible, because it reminds us of a whole lot of people and the way they are. Not that they got swallowed by a fish, but I'm talking about the way that they are. Not the way that the fish swallowed them. And maybe in certain ways you can say that a whale or great fish swallowed you and you got right with the Lord. I don't know. I hope not. But I don't know. I don't know your life that well, but I'm glad to know you. And I believe that all of us this morning is a Christian. I also see a great word here, and it says, a great God, a great prophecy, a great fear, a great prayer, a great deliverance, a great love, a great revival. In the last chapter, a great pity party. You see, after God did all that for Jonah, he had a pity party. Have you ever had a pity party in your life? Things don't go right sometimes, and you feel like that you're the only one that's having problems. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're not the only one having problems. It might be not the same problem, but you're having problems. They are too, or we are too. Let's put it that way, because I don't want to be left out, because I know that I have problems too. But listen to me. There are several lessons to be learned from this book. And I want us to learn a few of them this morning, if at all possible. I hope to let you out by 12. Now, the works of man. Jonah said this specifically. We should realize that it teaches us that salvation is not the works of man. Salvation is of the Lord. Found in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Now, it shows that a person cannot frustrate God's purpose of grace. If Jonah did not take the message to Nineveh, God would still get it there. Because God's got somebody out there, and he wanted Jonah to do it. And if Jonah had not done it, he could have got somebody to do it. I believe that, much as I believe that I'm standing here right now. You see, fourthly, God will not forget about us when we are unfaithful. He still yearns for us to stop, submit ourselves and do his will. We still do. Want you to. God is good. He's gracious to us, even when we treat him so badly. Now in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. It says, thou art a gracious God and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness. And all some folks see of God is a vengeful side. They have a lopsided view of God. Let's don't have a lopsided view of God. See, God is a God who cares about the Gentiles. Even in the Old Testament, God cared about the Gentiles. He wanted to save the sinners of all races, all colors, and he still does. He would save Rahab, then there was that great harlot and the wicked people of Nineveh. He could save anybody. He'd save anybody. What I believe the Lord would have us to think about is this, the great word of the Lord that came in several places in the wonderful little book of Jonah. Think about it. What we need today is a word from the Lord. Preacher, church members, doctors, lawyers, factory workers, office personnel, whatever the vocation might be, you need a word from the Lord this morning. And I hope that we get a word before I get through this morning. I hope you have a word from the Lord. Now let's look at a great word for a different aspect, in four different aspects in Jonah. Four chapters, wasn't it? First words were sending words. He sent Jonah to Nineveh. Now, further words was number two. And God gives second chances, don't he? That was a second chance word. Now, the third thing you might laugh at, but it's this. The fish directed word. In other words, it's still a salvation word. Then the final words, which is found as searching words. Now, if you can remember that, I hope you will. All right, let's go now to the first word. The first great words were sending words. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. You see, there are several reasons that I should remind you of concerning these first words given to Jonah. God speaks to us today in a lot of ways, doesn't he? He uses the scripture, he'll use the spirit, and he'll also use the saints. Praise the Lord that he'll use saints today. And we ought to be about the Father's business. We are saints of God. How we should long for a word from God. It was a divine word. If you'll notice, it is called the word of the Lord in verse 1. Now, isn't that a divine word? The word of the Lord? The word of indicates or identifies where the word originated. Now, what Jonah was about to hear was just another word from somebody sitting at the neighborhood whittling corner? Absolutely not. It was from God's almighty word. And man is so sinful, he's so selfish, he's so stubborn, we ought to be amazed that God would have anything to say to him at all, or to us at all. You want to get down to personal about it. You see, God's word is a divine word. It was penned by holy men of God. And that's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, if you want to write it down. But it originated in the heart and the mind of God, who created everything that exists. Everything. You see, the Lord uses these words in issuing his divine commission. He says, arise, go, and cry. They were definite words. God's not looking for the prophet's advice or seeking his permission to do anything. He simply tells Jonah what he expects of him to do in regard to the wicked city of Nineveh. Just as simple as that. God does not ask our permission for anything. Not a thing. You see, he simply asks us to cooperate with his divine plan. He knows what to do and gives us the privilege to help carry out those plans that he has for humanity and for the church. Amen? Now, it was a definite word, wasn't it? All right, it was not only a definite word and a divine word, but it was also a demanding word. God did not speak to his prophets to make a suggestion, but to issue a command. And every time God spoke to somebody, he issues a command. Because he's a great God, he has the authority to do so. Amen? Now, his words are what we call imperatives. That means those words constitute a command, a mandate, or an order from the Lord. He does not ask Jonah to go preach. Rather, God commands him to go. He didn't ask me to go preach. He commanded me to do so. He did not ask Jonah to go preach. The commands of the Bible should remind us that we are to be under the control and the authority of God, the one who saved us by his wonderful, marvelous grace. That's the way we got saved. Had it not been for his grace, where would we be today? We'd either be in hell or on our way to hell. Simple as that. Essentially, God does the same thing with us in regard to the Great Commission in Matthew 28. We don't have the choice when it comes to going or to proclaiming or teaching and baptizing. We are under orders from heaven to do so. Now, since God orders what we're to do, then we are under heavenly authority, are we not? Sure we are. We ought to obey God rather than man. And let me say to you, next, it was a disturbing word. Disturbing word. You see, Jonah chapter 1. I keep saying John, don't I? Jonah chapter 1. Verse 3. tells us that Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord when the command came. Jonah didn't like what he heard. He'd already heard about Nineveh and how sorry it was. God was telling him to go to a people that Jonah utterly despised and detested. Can you imagine? I believe that he just got himself in a whole lot of trouble. Just like we will if we don't do what God tells us to do. We need to stay perfectly in the perfect will of God. When I say perfectly, I don't mean that you're going to be perfect in this life. You're not. Upright is what the word perfectly means. So you're going to be upright in the Lord's word. Amen. The prophet Naaman says some things about the people of God. When we found some. But he was speaking about Nineveh. You see, in Naaman chapter 1, they plotted evil against the Lord and canceled wickedness. In Naaman chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, God says he is against them. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, it's called a bloody city full of lies and robbery. Then in Naaman chapter 3, verse 4, the city was full of whoredoms and witchcrafts. In chapter 3 of chapter 3, the prophets of God say, there is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. And I know I don't expect you to turn back over to Naaman, because it's hard for me to find, and I expect it is for you too. But I want you to listen to me, if you will. And if you want to look at God's word and see what it's saying, that's fine. But the people were so barbaric that often when they would overcome the enemy, they would cut off their heads and put them up for people to view. Can you imagine that? That is sick, isn't it? People of Nineveh lived in the city of wickedness. Nimrod were the vowed enemies of Israel. There's a scene of hostility and hatred between the average Israelite and Amorite. And that included the people of Nineveh, in other words. God's love is so inclusive that he made it possible the salvation of every person born of Adam's race. God does love the sinner. He proved it when he sent Jonah to such a wicked, terrible people. You see, we should delight, in other words, to do the will of God. The psalmist said in Psalms 119, verse 35, make me to go the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. This should always be our attitude toward the word of God as it comes to us. We ought not run from it or rebel against it. To delight means to take pleasure in or to be pleased with. And it has the idea of bending down or submission. That's what it has the idea of. So there it is. Now let's go on to the further words, or the second chance words. Jonah 3, 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, rise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Preaching is not always getting up and saying something, but it's proclaiming what God tells us to proclaim. And first you listen to God, then you speak for God. And you know, I am not a victim. I'm a victor in Jesus Christ. Always remember that. You can be too. What transpired after the first word given to Jonah? He had run from God. Can you imagine? He ran from God. He was thrown overboard by sailors into the ocean. He was swallowed by a great fish. He lived there 3 days and three nights. But he had a cottage prayer meeting in the belly of the great fish. How many of you have ever been to a cottage prayer meeting? I expect all of you have. It was good, wasn't it? Most of them were good. Getting around with our kind of people and just rejoice in the Lord. Have a few, maybe a few songs, and somebody preach the word. We pray. Well, maybe y'all's cottage prayer meeting wasn't like that, but mine was. It was just a joy and a privilege to have a prayer meeting like we had. You see, God does not give up on us very easy, does he? Some said that 3 days was the longest the great fish could stomach the backslidden preacher. So Jonah had been a rebel and dearly prayed for it. The fish vomited him up on dry land. Can you imagine that? Some people don't like the word vomit, but I can't hardly say regurgitate, so I just say vomit. What it is actually, that's the way the fish did. He got sick of Jonah. You may not believe it, but I do. We may utterly fail him in some respects in our life, but God can restore and help us get on our feet when we feel like that we have failed him so miserably. That reminds me of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son asked for his dad's, his part of the, his, anyway, his part that God, that his dad was going to give him when he, leave him when he died. And so, he wanted to go on his own. He didn't want to stay at home. He thought things were better outside of home. Well, I'm here to tell you it ain't much better outside of home. At night when you're tired, where do you go? Outside? No, you go to bed most of the time. Most people do anyway. But this is, he wanted to go out and had a righteous living, and he did. He lost everything that he had. He wasted his substance on righteous living. And the prodigal son finally came to himself, and he went back to a loving father who had longed for him to come home. Now, isn't that wonderful to be able to? I see so many backslide. And yet, when they get right with the Lord again, he's standing with outstretched arms, waiting to take them back in. Isn't that wonderful? You see, it's found in Luke 15. He saw him coming down the road. He ran, throwed his arms around him, kissed him, hugged him, carried him on back to the house. He told his servants, he said, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Ring on his hand identifies. That ring right there identifies with me, that lady right there. She's mine, I'm hers. Same way as that. He put a ring on his finger, and he put shoes on his feet, and those shoes on his feet was for his walk for the Lord now, and for his helping him, his daddy. Bring forth those things. The father was delighted when he saw his wayward son coming down the road, and I'm sure that most people would have been. He missed his son. Even though he done like he did. When we come to find finally to ourselves, realize how miserable we have failed the Lord in our lives, he welcomes us into fellowship, back into fellowship with him. Now, running doesn't pay. It'll take you farther than you want to go, and cost you more than you want to pay. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And the one who is a backslider does not care what the Lord wants. What that person only concerned with what he or she desires. But you know, it can be hazardous, it can be dangerous to run from the God. It caused Jonah to be swallowed by that fish. He had to live in that slime and that stink of that belly of the whale or fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And the only true safe place for him or any of us is in the middle of God's perfect will for our daily living. So you see, running does not pay. Running does not prevail. Jonah may have really thought that running might do him some good, that he might have some degree of success, but he didn't, did he? Nobody ever strives against Almighty God and is successful. Since God is omnipresent, and that means everywhere present, we would be foolish to think that we could run from him successfully. Psalms 139 and verse 7 through 12, the Bible talks about, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even shall thy hand lead me and do right. My right hand shall hold me. Now, it's God, not us, who prevails. You can believe that. I'll guarantee you, upon the authority of God's word, that's what it is. It's God who prevails. He can wake you up in the midnight hour. He can cause circumstances to take what appears to be an ill turn, that it might get your attention looking toward him. And in Isaiah 42:13, the Bible says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. God is the one who will win out against those who rise up against him. And because he loves us so much, he will get our attention when we move out of alignment with his will. So remember that. Now, let's go to the third word, and that is the fish-directed words. Salvation words, in other words. Jonah said in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, don't ever lose sight that the Master has all power. He has all authority. He has all might. And he can handle the situation of life. He never strains to exercise his might and sovereignty. God can speak to a fish and it can understand what he tells it to do. While the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, a storm came. They began to panic. Jesus was asleep, and they woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus said to the waters, peace be still. What happened? The waters lay down and they were still. Amen. We're serving the mighty God, aren't we? We're serving the God of authority. We're serving the God that's so wonderful to us. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I know that I say that about every time I get here, but I can't. So I might as well say it again, bragging on Jesus now. I think of the time that Dothan was surrounded with the enemy of Israel in 2 Kings. You see, the servant of Elijah began to panic. Or Elisha, in other words. But Elijah looked toward the mountain and he saw God's horses and chariot all around those hills. God can give you deliverance from anything and take control of your life. Remember that. Now, Let's go to the last thing and I'll be through. Okay? It's a final word. In other words, a searching word. Jonah 4. We're going out of chapter 1. Jonah 4, verse 9, down to verse 11 states this. And God said to Jonah, dost thou will to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do will to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 people that can not discern between their right hand and their left hand, and so much also much cattle? Allow me here to relate what happened. God delivered Nineveh because they repented of their evil. Jonah pointed over it and became extremely attached to a gourd. People seem to get overly attached to things. Jonah may have tried to water it every day or several times a day, but his life was a success with this gourd. Why? Because he could lay it in under there and think he could go to sleep. Jonah came to the point that he had no friends whatsoever. He didn't care for the Ninevites. There was no one in Nineveh with which he wanted to spend time with. So he became attached to the gourd. God prepared a worm that would destroy that gourd and turn the sun down on Jonah's head, disturbing what he might call the comfort zone in his life. And there's so many of us people today that want to stay in a comfort zone and don't want to get out of it. And that gets us in trouble also. God wanted what he said to Jonah to stimulate his thinking and cause him to realize the importance of people. My wife was reading, was it a Sunday school book or just
devotional book?
Anyway, she handed me this book that she had been reading this morning, wanted me to read it. I said, what do you want me to read it for? She said, I think all of us, me and you too, all of us, ought to be like this. You know what he was saying? I cannot quote all the words, but basically what he was saying was, you ever heard that saying, how to spell joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. She said, that's the way it ought to be. And she's told me that before. I don't know why she keeps telling me that. Except that sometimes I get a little bit, out of the way, I guess. Anyway, God, where he still has sending words, second chance words, salvation words, and searching words. Now, let's not run from God, but be used of him. His great word would be a vital part of that process of being used of God. God's word is a quickening word, a sustaining word, a stimulating word, a comforting word, a rebuking word, a sweet word, an eternal word, and hundreds of other kinds of a word. And it's so vitally important that we hear the word of God and yield to his claim upon our life. It's vital this morning. I don't know about you, but it's vital to me. And I appreciate her showing me that. And I'll tell her again. I told her I appreciate it. I think I did anyway. I may not have, but there's so much going on trying to get rid of and so forth and so on. But I do tell her now, I appreciate her showing me that and let me read it. And it meant a lot to me, and I learned something from it. I really did. And I love you today. And God loves you too. So remember that. And let's be hearing the word of God and yielding to its claim upon our life this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed. It might seem that I preached a long time, but I didn't. I feel like that's what God wanted me to say this morning. And that's what I said. A lot of times when I get to preaching, I get to stuttering. But God knows my heart. And I love you people, and God loves you too. And your pastor's having some difficulties, and he needs your prayers. And so, as we pray this morning, let's pray for him, pray for lost people, and pray for each woman, each other. And learn to love one another. If anyone here would like to come pray around the altar's open. I feel like the altar's always open, even though I'm not pastor. I believe he would say the same thing. The altar's always open. If you ever need to come, you come right on. Anyone this morning will come. All hearts clear. Okay. Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor that we've had today to bring forth the word of God. And I pray that, Lord, something's been said or done and would help these people. Lord, I pray that your will be done in each one of our lives. Lord, I pray that you strengthen us in the faith. And Lord, help us to do what you'd have us to do. And it being God's will, every phase of our life and every day of our life, to be in God's will. Thank you again for the service. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do. And Lord, keep us in your loving care till we be with these people again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.